you know, our fans deserve better, and I'm glad it's over. Put it that way. We're really glad it's over, but at the same time, we're looking forward to starting a new beginning and trying to get us on a little win streak here. We think we got a pretty good football team if we just continue working and continue limiting the you know, mistakes that we make and self-impose things. We think we get those fixed. We got a chance to be okay.
The Kansas Jayhawk football team did something that no other Jayhawk football team has done in over 3,200 days and in 9 years. The last time a KU football team won a road game was 2009. Finally, the monkey off the back of those players who have not been a part of all 46 road losses. They also 46 road losses in a row, dating back to 2009. Jayhawks get it done, and thankfully they have a guy named Puka, who did not play week one. Had he played week one, I think they would have beat Nicholls State.
Based on Saturday, I would probably agree with that.
He looked pretty doggone good. More on KU in a moment. K-State is absolutely manhandled on Saturday. Nebraska loses. Oklahoma loses a key player. The Chiefs' offense looks really, really good. The defense, well, we'll get to that. And then Serena Williams and her tantrum at the U.S. Open. That's coming up here in just a little bit. But first, local sports. And I know one of the things I noticed over the weekend is a local volleyball team won a tournament for the first time ever against some really good competition.
Yeah, that was Beloit High School. They won the Southeast Sling Tournament, first time in school history there on Saturday. You talked about the competition. They defeated Southeast Sling in Abilene in two and Smoky Valley in three in pool play there on Saturday. And then in the semifinals, they beat 5A Solana South in two and then beat Abilene for the second time in the day in the championship, winning that one in two as well. So, yeah, a great achievement there for the Beloit Lady Trojan volleyball team, winning the Southeast Sling Tournament on Saturday. Also, Thunder Ridge is off to an outstanding start this season. They're now 12-0 after winning the Southern Cloud Tournament. Pool play, they defeated Bennington, Southern Cloud, Blue Valley Randolph all in two, Rock Hills in two in the quarters. They beat St. John's Tipton in two in the semifinals and one over Hanover in three in the championship. So Thunder Ridge again the champs there at the Southern Cloud Tournament. St. John's Tipton went 3-2. Southern Cloud and Rock Hills both were 0-4 there this weekend as far as our area teams were concerned. Sylvan Lucas did win their home tournament despite losing their first match of the day to Lincoln in two. They went on to win the next four in a round robin tournament. They beat Logan, Lakeside, Palco, and El Saline 0-2. Lincoln went 3-2 on the day with the win over Sylvan Lucas as well as Palco and Lakeside, and then Lakeside was 1-4 on the day there at the Sylvan Lucas tournament. If you want to see all the full scores from all the volleyball tournaments from the NCAA, Northern Plains League, and others this weekend, they're all updated at ncksports.com, so you can see all that there. Just one varsity event going on today in our area. The Osborne girls tennis team is at the Victoria Triangular, which begins at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's all that we have going on as far as varsity action is concerned here today.
Busy weekend of sports over the weekend, and it'll take take a while to go through this, so bear with us. Although I think if you like sports, you're going to enjoy this show, because we're going to cover quite a bit. That's why it's called the Sports Ticket. KU football team winning for the first time since 2009 on the road. They went over Central Michigan 31-7. It was the longest streak in college football history, 46 straight losses on the road. Prior to Saturday, the last time KU won an away game was September 12, 2009, so virtually 9 years ago. Against UTEP, and KU was up 7-0 halftime. Freshman Puka Williams, that is his first name or nickname, Puka, P-O-O-K-A, Puka Williams, made his debut, and he did all right. He had his first career touchdown, four-star recruit, one of the best recruits KU's ever had under David Beatty. He had 14 carries, 125 yards. KU wins the game, forces five turnovers. That's how you win. 31-7, Jayhawks victorious. They'll play host to Rutgers at 11 a.m. on Saturday. You know, before the season began, you know, obviously the three games that they have the best chance to win would be the first three games of the year, the non-conference games. But to me, the two best chances to win any game this year for KU was obviously Nicholls State and Rutgers. And I picked KU to lose to Nicholls State. And so what was the other game I thought they could win? Rutgers. I didn't think they'd win at Central Michigan.
Yeah.
So I got week one right. I picked them to lose Nicholls State. Week two, I got it wrong. But why would I pick them to win? They lost 46 in a row on the road. They won. Max is telling me to get on the KU bandwagon. They're going to a bowl game. So okay. They're going to go to a bowl game and watch as a spectator. They're not going to actually play in one, Max. But I got you. At least I highly, you know, if they do, that's great. I'll eat a lot of crow. So will everybody else in America if KU makes a bowl game. But one win is nice. Now, how is Kansas going to handle winning a game? That's my question.
Yeah.
It's, hey, the monkey's off the back. Are you going to be relaxed and relieved and then let down, have a letdown to Rutgers? Because this is a game KU could or should win, depending on how you look at it. But now that they just won this game, I could see them losing this game and going right back to where that was just kind of a fluky thing. They won at Central Michigan. So if you are an improved football team and you want to go to a bowl game, as Max says, and he wants to drive the bus, which right now there's no passengers on it, but but maybe his family. I don't even know if his family is totally on board that bus. But if in fact you want to drive a bus to a bowl game, or you just want to drive the bus to improvement, you have to win Saturday against Rutgers. If you really are a better team and you just beat Central Michigan, prove that's not a fluke, beat Rutgers. Then you're 2-1, you go into conference play, and now you might say, hey, maybe they can win a conference game or two. They do that. They're up to 4 wins, and that's the number Brian Haney, and I've kind of put it out there as well. 4 wins would be definitely a pretty big improvement from 0-1 wins under David Beatty. Is that enough to keep his job? I don't know. I do not know. Probably depends on the games they do win out of those four. But if you're going to get the 4, you probably better win Saturday.
Yeah, that's definitely – I'm with you. I mean, I just don't know how they're going to react to that, because I'm 100% agreeing that they should win against Rutgers on Saturday. Mm-hmm. If they won like they did on this past Saturday at Central Michigan, get that confidence going and build off of that. Mm-hmm. And Rutgers isn't a team that should scare anybody, really.
No.
So it's a game that is definitely winnable. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're thinking, if you have those huge high expectations and thinking bowl game, there's no question they got to win on Saturday.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Good win for them. Now let's see if they can handle success. Kansas is not used to handling success when it comes to football.
No.
So we'll see how that works out this weekend. You can hear that game pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 Lake, KU hosting Rutgers on Saturday. Now, good news for KU, they win. Bad news, K-State got smoked. Now, if you're a Jayhawk fan, it was a great day for you. Nebraska lost, because there's still KU fans don't like Nebraska. Nebraska lost, K-State got blown out, and KU won. So you're a Jayhawk fan, you're really, really happy. K-State, man, I wasn't at the game. I didn't even see much of this game. But all I know is they got their butts smoked in the trenches. They absolutely got smoked. This was an M&M-er. This was a mismatch. Against SEC school taking on the Big 12, although that really shouldn't have any impact, SEC, Big 12. K-State's now lost 10 straight games against ranked opponents in Manhattan, dating back to 2002. Mississippi State ran all over K-State. You were worried about Nick Fitzgerald lighting you up. He was 11-27 for 154. If I would have told you, Dusty, that Nick Fitzgerald's going to go 11-27 for 154, you probably would have said K-State's got a good chance to win this game.
I would have felt pretty good about it, yeah.
Yeah, but if I told you that K-State's defense is going to give up 10 yards a carry and Mississippi State's going to run for 388 and the quarterback's going to run for 159 and running back's going to run for 215, you probably would have said we're going to get blown out, right?
Yeah.
That's what happened. K-State only had 213 yards of offense, Mississippi State 538. They had 8 yards per play. K-State, 3.8 yards per play. You still got issues at quarterback. Who is it going to be? Delton, 204, interception again, 14 yards. I think Thompson's clearly the guy. 7-17 for 86 and a touchdown, but not great. Alex Barnes ran for 75 yards. K-State offense really didn't do much at all. So let's hear from Bill Snyder. Let's hear from Alex Barnes, and then we'll hear from Dusty as he was at the game. Here's Bill Snyder on the K-State run defense that gave up 384 net yards, or 10 yards a carry.
Big plays, probably as much as anything. Y'all hurt us with, some of the stuff that we see all the time. See it out of our offense, and it's just a little zone play, and the back just does a nice job. I mean, he did a great job of being able to bounce those things outside. The hole is closed off, and he bounces the ball outside, and we lose contain on things coming back outside. That happened to us on numerous occasions. Plus, the fact they ran awfully hard. That's the thing that probably is disturbing as anything for me, is we just missed a lot of tackles, guys bouncing off of him, left and right. He got a lot of that yak yardage, as they talk about, yards after contact. He's a very talented player.
So the defense, okay, fine. You can fix the defense, but the offense was pretty good, right, Alex Barnes?
I mean, that's embarrassing, man. That's pitiful, you know. We came in wanting to be one of the more efficient offenses, and we're nowhere near that. And we realize that, players realize that, coaches realize that, you know, it's going back to the drawing board. We got to find something that's going to work, because right now, you know, we're not who we want to be.
Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com. We had him on last Tuesday. We'll have him on again tomorrow. Brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric in Beloit. And last week he said he was worried about the offense and the defense. He was worried more about the defense for this game, but offense over the course of the season, I'm guessing tomorrow he's going to be really concerned about both, because the offense did nothing and the defense was really bad. Now, this was a barometer game against a really good team in Mississippi State, and this doesn't bode well when you go in the Big 12 play. It doesn't bode well at all. They got a lot of things to fix in a short period of time, but perhaps K-State will do what they did last year, and that is start slow, figure it out, get hot late in the year, and win your 7-8 games and go to a bowl game. You may win a bowl game, may not. I talked to a K-State fan yesterday at church. He's like, oh, man, it's going to be a long year. I'm like, yeah. I said, you know, you K-State fans say that every year. If you lose a game early in the year, K-State fans are like, oh, it's going to be a long year.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of programs would love to have a long year when you go 8-4 or 7-5. And I'm going to tell you right now, I still think K-State's going to be bowl eligible, and they're going to go to a bowl. Yeah. And that means they're going to be 6-6 at worst. A lot of teams would love to have that. KU would love to have that. Now, I know if you're a K-State fan, you're not satisfied with 7-5, 8-4. You want more. But this football team, nobody thought was going to win a national championship. I don't think anybody's thought they're going to win the Big 12.
No.
I thought they'd finish higher than 6th in the conference, and they still can. Let's not overreact to one loss against a team that they were just outclassed by. But the bottom line is the offense isn't doing much. Quarterback is an issue, and you know, you talk about how well we got two really good quarterbacks. That's a good problem to have. The flip side is you got two quarterbacks but no clear-cut favorite, so thus you have a problem. You have two quarterbacks but not a great one. And Skylar Thompson for some has been anointed as a great quarterback, or he will be. Well, until he is, he's not. and he needs help as well. And then your defense. I don't care how good the K-State offense is. When the defense is giving up 10 yards a carry, it don't matter what the offense does. I mean, it just doesn't. It doesn't matter if Scott Thompson throws for 400 yards. If the defense is giving up 10 yards a carry on 39 carries, which is almost 400 yards, odds are you're not going to win, even if you do have a good, great quarterback.
Yeah. Let's put
you can't stop the run. You're in huge trouble. See the Chiefs last year.
Real quick, like, because it didn't make a difference on Saturday, but put the quarterback thing to rest, because Skylar Thompson is this team's quarterback.
I
if you at all want to throw the football.
Yes.
Alex Delton had three passes in a row, two against South Dakota and one against Mississippi State, where I have no idea where he was throwing the football.
He might not have either.
And that was the pass he threw on Saturday. I'm at a loss for words of what was going on that play. He threw it right to the middle of the Mississippi State middle linebacker, and nobody else was around there. So, I mean, if you're legitimately wanting to throw the football, Skylar Thompson is a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Let's put it to rest. There's no question about it.
Right.
But moving on, because that didn't matter on Saturday.
No.
You've got to figure out how to control something on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And you know, we talked, obviously, that we felt like K-State usually is a team that between week one and week two makes improvement.
Yeah.
But at the same time, nobody should have been surprised that Mississippi State manhandled the K-State offensive line and made it hard all day for Skylar Thompson or Alex Delton to do anything in the back.
And by the way,
South Dakota caused problems.
By the way, K-State this offensive line has everybody back
exactly.
last year. It's not inexperienced. That should be
the strength of the K-State football team. Like, number one strength of the K-State football team coming into the season was offensive line. Dalton Reisner is a first-team All-American preseason on the offensive line. Scott France, first-team All-Big 12 caliber offensive line. All the Abdul Beecham, how many starts does he have on the offensive line? But this was supposed to be the number one strength of the K-State football team, and it is not at all right now. And sure, like you said, there's time for improvement, and I think they can make the improvement that they need to. We might find out Mississippi State is better than what most people are going to say. Now, you know, Riley said on Twitter that they probably are the fourth best team in their division, which might be true.
But they still might be a top 10 team.
But they're still an outstanding team. You talk about the other teams in that division are SEC or Alabama, LSU, and Auburn.
Yeah.
And even more, you know.
Those are all top 10 teams.
So,
right
yeah, now. I mean, fourth in their division. Well, you know, that's the strength of the SEC is that division.
Right.
So, and Georgia's coming up in the East, so that's making that a little bit better. But I just – we don't know how good Mississippi State's going to be at the end of the year. The thing that drives me nuts, though, is what Bill Snyder alluded to in the postgame. They beat them with stuff they see every day in practice.
Yeah, it wasn't
every
tricky.
Day for the last 10 years. K-State has run zone read in practice, and their defense should be able to know what it is.
Yes.
I was talking to a friend after the game. It's like zone read is not that hard to defend if you're playing defense right.
Right.
If you're reading your keys, okay, you got this guy, you got this guy.
Right.
Blast whoever you want to blast. You're not going to get a penalty
when
you're right there on a handoff.
Right.
If the quarterback doesn't have the ball and you crush him, this is college football, not the NFL. You're not going to get a penalty on that. So make sure, and they can't block everybody, okay? So your linebackers inside out need to read your keys. And the zone read is not, but then they when they did read their keys, they couldn't tackle Hill to save their life. And it was bad tackling, too. So that's what hurts as well, is you might have your keys read, which they didn't when Fitzgerald was running the ball. That's why he got so many yards. But they just missed tackles, and there's issues all over the place with this team, and that's probably the most glaring one defensively, is they're not tackling right now.
We knew about inexperience at linebacker. Is that the biggest issue on defense?
That's part, yeah. I mean, that's got to be
linebacker
part of it,
number
for sure.
one?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a concern.
And D-backs are concerned that they have some experience there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the pass defense wasn't the problem. Of course, Mississippi State didn't really need to pass a whole lot.
Not when you're averaging 10 yards carry. Why would you pass the ball?
Exactly.
So. The quarterback goes 11 of 27 for 154. A lot of people would have said, K-State's got a chance to win.
The 11 for 154, you know, most of his passes were dump downs. You know, they weren't, like, just trying to stretch the field at all. And they were getting yardage on the dump downs.
And he threw two touchdown passes.
Yeah.
11 out of 27. Bad day for K-State. They'll try to bounce back coming up against Texas San Antonio this weekend in Manhattan. Kickoff scheduled for 3 there. Look at the rest of the Big 12 over the weekend, and really probably the biggest story for the Big 12 was that Oklahoma lost a very good running back. He's one of the top running backs in the country. Rodney Anderson out due to a knee injury, and he's done for the year. That guy seems to be jinxed. He had one real full year, and that was last year, and we saw what he could do over 1,100 yards rushing. He's quite the talent. So even though Oklahoma won the game over UCLA 49-21, he's out for the year. It means Trace Sermon and others have to step up. Puts a little more pressure, I think, on Kyler Murray for the Sooners offense. TCU winning on Friday night 42-12 over SMU. On Saturday, we mentioned Oklahoma with the win, 49-21 over UCLA, but at a cost. KU, of course, not snapping a road losing streak at Central Michigan, 31-7. As we just referred to, Mississippi State throttling K-State, 31-10. Iowa wins a low-scoring affair over Iowa State, 13-3. West Virginia blew out Youngstown State, 52-17. Texas Tech, 77-0 over Lamar. Baylor beat Texas San Antonio, 37-20. That game was a little closer, maybe you might have thought, and that's a team that comes into Manhattan next Saturday. I don't think you can just sit here and say K-State's going to automatically win that game.
No.
Oklahoma State wins over South Alabama 55-13, and Texas is back with a 7-point win over Tulsa. Tongue in cheek. 28-21.
When you say Texas is back, they really are back. They're just back to what they consistently have been here the last 5 or 6 years.
They got the big showdown with USC coming up this weekend. Now, Nebraska. They lose over the weekend at home against Colorado. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Colorado. I watched the game, some of the game, and Colorado's talented offensively. Their defense is not very good. I thought Nebraska looked like a much improved team from a year ago, even though they lost at home to Colorado. Adrian Martinez looked, Martinez was really good. He threw for 187 yards and a touchdown. He ran for 117 and two scores, but then he got hurt late in the fourth quarter, so he had to leave the game. Nebraska ran for 329 yards. Nebraska had 565 yards of offense. They had 7 sacks from their defense. How many times do you put up 565 yards of offense, 329 on the ground? You get 7 sacks in your defense, you're at home, and you lose. That's hard to do.
It is.
That is hard to do. How do you do it? Well, Scott Frost says you beat yourself. He says they beat themselves against Colorado.
I told the team I'm proud of them. I'm brokenhearted for them, but I'm proud of them because looking out on that field, we had an offense. The only time we got stopped on offense was when we made mistakes and stopped ourselves. Defense at times looked like the black shirts. I don't know what they rushed for, but we had their quarterback on his back, and we stopped the run all day. When you're trying to go from being an average team to a great team, you don't beat yourself. And spotting them 14 points is a good way to get beat. Not getting any fourth and shorts is a good way to get beat. Giving up third and 19s and third and 15s is a good way to get beat. Getting holding calls when you're trying to run out the clock is a good way to get beat. penalties on 3rd and 25 when they're trying to score the last winning score is a good way to get beat. We can't beat ourselves. We got to learn those lessons. We tried to preach them to them a lot. But if this team didn't beat itself today, we'd have won that game.
Colorado quarterback Steven Montez with the touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter, about a minute to go. That was the dagger. He threw for 351 yards and 3 touchdowns on 50 pass attempts. Colorado also forced 3 turnovers. Nebraska led 21-17 at halftime, 28-20 in the third quarter, but can't hang on to win. There's no question Nebraska has improved. You could see it yet the other day. I do believe, not to take anything away from Colorado, but Nebraska, had they played a game against Akron, because Colorado had a game under their belt, had Nebraska played that first game, I think that really would have helped them in game two. Mm-hmm. They didn't. I think you saw the same thing happen to Iowa State. They didn't play a game one because of the weather. It was canceled, and then they lost in a close one to Iowa. So I think that does certainly hurt you, especially in college football, where you sit out the first week and other teams get a play, and then you play your first game when they're playing their second game. I don't care if you're at home or not. And I think that certainly was a detriment to Nebraska over the weekend. But give Colorado credit. They hung in there, even though they gave up all that yardage and gave up all those sacks, and still found a way to win in Lincoln. So the era at Scott Frost off to an ominous start. The Mother Nature ruins game one. You should have been a win for Nebraska. And then Colorado comes into town and beats you 33-28. So Nebraska will try to bounce back next week. The top 25 AP poll is out. Alabama is number one. Shocking. They had a toughie against Arkansas State.
Oh, yeah.
Clemson did have a tough one. They barely beat Texas A&M. Very controversial play in that game. I still hate the rule. I don't blame the officials for enforcing it, but it's a rule that needs to be changed at the pro, college, and high school level. When you fumble the ball and you're shy of the end zone and it goes through the end zone or inside the pylon in the end zone, that should not be a turnover and the defense gets the ball to 20. Sorry, I still don't understand that. The defense never recovered the ball. I think where you fumble the ball out of bounds is where the ball should go. In this case, A&M at the Clemson game, it looked to me on the replay that he didn't actually fumble it inside the pylon. I was outside the pylon, which would be in the field of play out of bounds at the one.
Yeah, exactly.
So Clemson maybe caught a break there, and then A&M had a two-point conversion try at the end. It was picked off, so Clemson wins 28-26. But there's got to be a better way of doing it. Even if the A&M running back fumbled it all the way through the back of the end zone, I don't know if you penalize them 15 yards for fumbling it through the end zone, but how do you lose possession when the other team never got it?
Yeah.
I don't like that rule. Can't stand it. Clemson is still 2, though. Georgia is 3. Ohio State is 4. Oklahoma is 5. Wisconsin 6. Auburn 7. Notre Dame is 8. Stanford 9. Washington 10. Penn State 11. LSU 12. West Virginia is at 14. TCU at 15. Mississippi State moves up to 16. Other notables, Arizona State under Herm Williams knocked off Michigan State over the weekend. That was pretty cool. I like Herm. Arizona State won, and so they're ranked 23rd. Oklahoma State in the top 25 at number 24, and Michigan State falls all the way down to 25. Kentucky beat Florida for the first time since 1986. So KU football won, Duke football won, Kentucky football won, all on the same day. It's been years since that's happened. That's crazy talk. Kentucky
probably
beat
more
Florida.
Apt to have Kentucky and Duke win it on the same day here in the last 10 years or so than all
right.
three of them.
But they're all known for basketball,
exactly.
Not football. Kentucky beat Florida, so Florida and South Carolina drop out of the top 25 poll. Well, the Chiefs yesterday, at least I got one game right on my picks because I picked K-State, I picked KU to lose, I picked Nebraska to win. I was 0-for-3, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. The Chiefs are just doomed because I've jinxed everybody that I'm cheering for this weekend. What am I doing? Well, the Chiefs got off to a pretty good start.
Back deep is Tyreek Hill for Kansas City. Back pedals, takes it at his own 10 and wants a left return. Gets 2 blocks, gets up to the 15. Attacks at left 20. He's at the 30. The Cheetah's loose. 40 at midfield. There goes the Cheetah. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Kansas City! That didn't take long for the Cheetah to unleash.
And that was just the beginning of a huge day for Tyreek Hill. 169 yards receiving. A couple of touchdown catches, 58-yard slant was a pretty impressive play by Mahomes. That was like a quarterback read situation, and he just like slung it sidearmed on the money. Well, let's hear from Andy Reid first about Patrick Mahomes, because I'm impressed by Tyreek Hill. I always have been in regards to his speed.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people aren't talking about his off-the-field issues now, are they? So it ain't even brought up anymore.
Nope.
Amazing what happens when helps a team win. Hopefully he doesn't have any recurrences and he'll be a model citizen the rest of his life. But here's Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes, who had a solid day.
No, listen, I thought he did a nice job. I mean, he's got things that he's got to work on, I mean, like everybody. So and he knows that this will be a great learning tool for him as he evaluates the tape. He made plays. He did it with his legs. He did it with throwing. He did it with checks. And, you know, Gus, I have a lot of respect for Gus Bradley and his defense. He threw a few things at him. He got him a few times. But I thought Pat did a nice job of handling it. Gus, an experienced and a very good defense coordinator.
Mahomes' final line, 15 of 27, 256 yards, 4 touchdowns. He rushed for 21 yards. He completed passes to 7 different receivers, although Kelce only had 1 catch the entire game. I'm sure they'll work on that in practice this week. Here's the thing I've said about Mahomes all along, and I think I put it on Twitter or Facebook, and I texted a friend of mine who just really was kept dwelling on the fact that Alex Smith was the number one rated quarterback last year. I'm like, so? How many playoff games has Alex Smith won with the Chiefs? 1. So he's number 1. He got 1 playoff win. And it's not all Alex Smith's fault why the Chiefs lost
than
playoff games.
Since Joe Montana, though.
Yeah. So, you know, is Alex Smith a good quarterback? Yes. He's not a great quarterback. Alex Smith has never been a great quarterback. And he won't be a great quarterback unless he wins something of substance in the playoffs and probably takes his team to the Super Bowl. That's just the way it is. It might be unfair, but Alex Smith is a winner during the regular season, but not during the playoffs. That might be unfair to him, but Alex Smith last year didn't get it done in the playoffs when they needed it in the second half. He was great in the first half. Second half, he disappeared. And so many times, the thing that always drove me nuts about Alex Smith, and I love Alex Smith. I love the competitive nature. He was a leader, and he really improved with the deep ball. There's no question. He got better.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem with Alex Smith is that every time he would feel pressure in the pocket, and sometimes it was created in his own mind and there wasn't pressure in the pocket, he would immediately tuck the ball and run and not keep his eyes downfield. Baker Mayfield's a better quarterback than Alex Smith in regards to keeping his eyes downfield. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield's one of the best I've seen at keeping his eyes downfield, keeping those feet moving, and he can move around the pocket and look downfield and make plays and break down defenses. Patrick Mahomes is like that as well. And that's why, one of the major reasons why, I was more than happy to see Alex Smith traded and Mahomes given the keys to the car, and why all along I have been a big fan of this Mahomes situation, much more than Dusty, because Dusty's like, I got to see it to believe it. But I've been much higher on Mahomes than Dusty. Not that Dusty doesn't think Mahomes is going to be a good quarterback. Dusty's just a little bit more reserved in his excitement. For me, I've been really excited about it, and what I saw against Denver last year made me feel even more excited about it. And what I saw yesterday makes me even more excited. Because he looks downfield. He's looking to make plays with his arm. That's what I love about him. He can run the ball, but he's looking to make plays with his arm. When he rolled out on that 3rd and 13 and found Tyreek Hill on the near sideline, he rolled right. Alex Smith would have never made that pass.
No,
Alex Smith would have tucked it and ran and got 5, and Chiefs would have punted. Okay? There's no way. There is no way Alex Smith makes that play. And there was at least 5 plays in this game where I'm like, Alex Smith would have never attempted to make a pass. He'd been so worried about throwing a pick. Or he would have just had his eyes down and immediately ran and not going through his reads. Did Patrick Mahomes play a perfect game yesterday? No. As Andy Reid said, he's got room for improvement. And he does. But yesterday, he made one really bad pass where he was kind of scrambling up the middle and then threw it late. Got lucky on that one. He catch some breaks here and there. But all in all, he did a really nice job. He's looking to stretch the field. There was one play where he had an easy pass to running back. He had Kelce a crossing route for about 10 yards. And he decided to go deep to DeAnthony Thomas and go for it all instead of settling for the check down. And it was on the money, and it was a good defensive play by Derwin James. And I was like, Alex Smith would have never done that.
No.
Now, somebody could say, well, if that's intercepted, you're not going to be so high about Mahomes. No, if it was, I would have been okay. He at least tried to make a play. And Smith would have dumped it to Kareem Hunt on that play. There's no question. And Mahomes looked down the field, and he's looking to make the big play. Now, sometimes Mahomes maybe looks to make the big play too often, just like Brett Favre did. That's going to be something to follow Mahomes the rest of his career. Is he going to force it? You know, there'll be times where he probably should be an Alex Smith, and he should check down, and he's not going to. There's going to be times he's going to go deep when Alex Smith would never go deep, and he's going to complete the big play, and Alex Smith wouldn't even try it. They're different quarterbacks. Bottom line is this. I'm okay with Alex Smith in Washington. And he played well yesterday. Yeah. But this is the future. You don't trade 17 spots and move up in the draft to have your quarterback sit on the sideline for 2 or 3 years behind a quarterback that really hasn't been able to get it done in the playoffs. I was impressed. And Hill is a great target, no question. And Hill and the receivers are excited because they know if they just keep running, Mahomes is looking for him. Whereas they kept running with Alex Smith, Alex couldn't throw it that far. And two, Alex did not keep his eyes downfield.
Yeah.
So that's a huge reason why I love Mahomes at quarterback. Having said that, he's going to make mistakes. And then as soon as he has one bad game, these friends and Alex Smith supporters will come out of the closet and they will try to shove it back in my and other people's faces and say, oh, you wanted Mahomes so bad. Well, how do you feel about that 3-interception day he had? I'll be like, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Because if we end up, we as the Chiefs, not me, if the Chiefs end up making the playoffs this year or next year, and the Chiefs win a playoff game or two, it'll be because a big reason will more than likely be Mahomes pushing the ball downfield. So I loved it. Now, that's the good news. Special teams was really good. Some of the things you can look at this game, you know, D'Anthony Thomas, he had a huge play when he forced that fumble on that punt return. That was a huge play of the game. Ron Parker had a huge interception for the Chiefs because he knew Phillips Rivers was going to make one dumb pass. He always does. That was one.
Yeah.
That was one. That was huge for the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 169 yards, 2 touchdowns, 91-yard punt return for a score. He was fantastic. He has San Diego's or L.A. Chargers number. The other thing that stood out to me, there was one player on defense to me that was absolutely looked really, really good. And I was like, wow. Who do you think I'm talking about? On the Chiefs' defense.
Defense.
Because he stood out like a sore thumb, and that's a compliment. If you watch the game, this should be an easy answer.
I did, but I'm going blank right now.
Dee Ford was all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Dee Ford was I mean, Dee Ford.
I was just thinking, that I have all the bad stuff about the defense in my mind that I just forgot.
Dee Ford was really active yesterday.
Yeah, he was
better against the run. He had a sack. He had some hits on the quarterback. He looked like a guy wanting a big contract. Sometimes motivation can help you. I was impressed by Dee Ford. That was something that I really took from the defense. The touchdown pass to Anthony Sherman. Everybody thinks Mahomes has a cannon. All he can do is throw it hard. That was a beautiful touch pass to Sherman on a wheel route. That was a beautiful play. Anthony Hitchens was another defensive player that I thought played well.
Yeah.
15 tackles, blew up a couple screen plays. I thought he played well. The special teams of the Chiefs, they're pretty young, played well. And Sammy Watkins got involved, had a couple of catches. He dropped one early in the game, but had a key catch early in the game. There's some good things to take out of the Chiefs' performance yesterday. But the thing that it still has to stand out is the defense. And the Chiefs dodged some huge bullets yesterday. I mean, the Chargers dropped 4 passes, 2 for touchdowns, another that could have been a touchdown, another that should have gained 45 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Nelson hands off a receiver when he's already at the 2-yard line and just leaves him. What are you doing? And somehow the guy can't catch the ball. This is pretty funny. I saw this on CBS Sports, and I've been thinking the same thing, and this is why I picked the Chiefs to win yesterday, because the Chargers are the Oakland Raiders of the 1990s when Marty and the Chiefs played them. All you got to do against the Chargers is just like you did against the Raiders in the 90s. Keep the game close and wait for them to implode. That's what the Chargers do. I have not understood it. I'm sitting here during this whole game shaking my head going, what does everybody see in the Chargers being the pick to win the division and being the pick to maybe go deep in the playoffs? Some have them winning the Super Bowl or going to the Super Bowl. Are you high? I don't get it. So CBS Sports had a good synopsis of the game yesterday about the Chargers. No team in the NFL knows how to shoot themselves in the foot quite like the Chargers. Despite the fact that the Chargers racked up 541 yards of offense against the Chiefs' defense yesterday, the Chargers still found a way to lose, which isn't easy. Over the past 5 years, NFL teams had been 25-3-1 when racking up more than 540 yards of offense. With the Chargers, there's always something crazy. In this game, they gave up a punt return for a touchdown. They missed a field goal. Phillip Rivers threw an interception deep in Chiefs territory. And I'll add, they dropped 4 passes and a couple that would have been touchdowns. Someday, things will go right for the Chargers, but that day probably won't be anytime soon. And that's the team that was picked to win this division by a lot of people. Listen, the Steelers with Antonio Brown and Juju Schuster are not going to drop those passes.
No.
So Chiefs better buckle up. The only way the Chiefs are going to beat the Steelers this weekend, and the Steelers, by the way, ended in a tie with the Browns. Browns are improved. Ben Roethlisberger looked horrible, had four picks, but he'll look good against the Chiefs. James Conner looked good in place of Le'Veon Bell. Bell may or may not be back for the Chiefs game. Let's hope not, because he tears up the Chiefs. I don't care if Pittsburgh tied with the Browns. They have the Chiefs' number. They know what the Chiefs like to do defensively. If they have time to throw the ball, if there's no pass rush, they're going to pick apart this Chiefs secondary. It's going to be really bad.
Oh, without question.
Especially if the weather's nice. It's going to be really, really bad. The only way the Chiefs are going to beat the Steelers this weekend, this is just my opinion, I could be wrong. The only way the Chiefs are going to win this game this weekend is, one, the weather's bad, which could hurt the Chiefs. Or, two, Mahomes is going to have to throw for 400 yards or 350. He's going to throw for five touchdowns, no interceptions, or the Chiefs are going to have to run for 200 yards. The Chiefs are going to have to put up probably at least 450 yards of total offense, at least. Don't turn the ball over to win this game. They're going to have to probably score 40 points.
Yeah.
And that's without Le'Veon Bell. I would say the same thing. Antonio Brown is going to – I mean, Kendall Fuller will probably defend Antonio Brown. So somebody's got to guard Schuster. And some of these corners, Scandrick looked really bad on a couple plays yesterday. And he is over the hill, but probably better, obviously, than what they had with Amerson.
Yeah.
Nelson is still not a starting corner in this league, but he is for the Chiefs. Eric Murray scares me at safety. Armani Watts comes in for one play and gets burned on the two-point, or was it a touchdown? Two-point conversion. He got burned by Antonio Gates, the veteran schooled the rookie.
Yeah.
I have no faith in the Chiefs' secondary to do anything against the Steelers. So the only chance you're going to have is get a pass rush, which maybe Dee Ford can do. Justin Houston was pretty much gone AWOL yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's not a good sign. The run defense wasn't very good, and the Steelers can run the ball. The only way the Chiefs win the game Sunday is they're going to have to outscore them. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, without question.
And that might be the case for every game this year.
Did you see what I put on Twitter? Yeah. If this doesn't look like 2003 Chiefs, it's just different personnel and different schemes.
That was the year the Chiefs started 9-0.
It's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a high-powered offense that can do pretty much everything, mm-hmm. anything you want at any time. Mm-hmm. And the defense that is just the only way they do anything is if they get a takeaway, if they get around the ball. Because that team was outstanding at taking away the football when they had a chance, but was just horrid at every other point and level of the defense.
If they didn't force turnovers, that team had no chance.
Oh, goodness, so we've been terrible. Yeah. And this team reminds me so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that the Chargers should have had over 600 yards easy yesterday if they catch passes.
Oh, probably 700.
Maybe 700, yes. Exactly. And so, I mean, I don't even want to imagine what Ben Roethlisberger's mad after week one. And what they can do with their receivers, I don't even want to think about it, to be completely honest with you. And everybody probably thinks we're crazy because, oh, the Browns just tied them. Yeah. I don't really care. The Browns play twice every year. And they, you know, the Browns are a team that wants to kind of get that monkey off their back and stop. And they're not KU, okay? They're an NFL football team.
Steelers have a lot of distractions with comments about Le'Veon Bell not being there. They probably look past the Browns.
Yeah, and they've got the one game under their belt now. And
they won't look past the Chiefs.
Pittsburgh's usually like that, you know.
Yes. When they have a bad
game.
It
seems like every time they have a bad game right before
the Chiefs. It's
right
before
the
Chiefs,
too.
And then they play great.
So they have this bad game, and then they had the bad game a couple years ago, and then they beat them 39-14.
They got smoked by the Eagles, and then they smoked the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, and it was over in the first quarter.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty much feeling like that's probably going to be what happens in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Unless Mahomes can play like he did, more yards, and probably if he doesn't have more yards, you need a special teams touchdown, kind of like he got yesterday. Yeah. But it's not going to be good, I don't think.
Listen,
the defense is not going to be good at all.
Mahomes is going to have to play even better than yesterday to beat Pittsburgh. And I think he can do it. I think he can he can do his part because the Steelers don't have a lot of film on Mahomes.
Yeah.
But the question is, can the defense.
And the Steelers' defense doesn't scare you like it has in the past.
No, but can the Chiefs actually stop the Steelers and hold them to some field goals or force a turnover? That's going to be determine the game because, I don't like their chances, and they don't do well in Pittsburgh usually no matter what their record is. Other games last night, how about Aaron Rodgers? Looked like he might have been out for the season.
Yeah.
Comes back in the second half and rallies them from a 20-0 deficit. Matt Nagy was part of the Chiefs blowing the playoff game last year, and then boom, next game, Bears blew it against the Packers last night. 20-0 lead for the Bears early in the third quarter. Packers come back 24-23. Rodgers, what a sensational effort in the second half. Baltimore crushes Buffalo 47-3. Cleveland-Pittsburgh ends in a tie. Cleveland had a field goal chance at the end of overtime, and it wasn't even close, but the weather was a factor. Cincinnati beat Indianapolis 34-23. Misleading score. Indy was down 27-23, had the ball inside the Cincy 25. Receiver makes a catch for Andrew Luck and fumbles. Return the other way. Andrew Luck did what he could. Cincinnati wins 34-23. Miami, it took 7 hours to get that game in yesterday in Miami. They had two lightning delays and weather delays. They beat Tennessee 27-20. Minnesota beat the Niners 24-16. New England outlast Houston 27-20. Tampa Bay with the surprise of the day. I had New Orleans making the Super Bowl. I don't feel good about that pick right now. Although I had a friend of mine, he had picked the Packers to make the Super Bowl. He's texted me, he goes, can I change my pick at halftime?
Yeah, exactly.
And I should have let him change his pick because then Green Bay came back and won. New Orleans, they got time to fix it, though. Remember, New England gave up a ton of points and yards to the Chiefs last year and lost to the Chiefs. New England went to the Super Bowl and the Chiefs lost first round. So don't put too much stock in week one. Tampa Bay does beat New Orleans 48-40. Ryan Fitzpatrick. I thought that guy was horrible. He was good yesterday. Jacksonville beats the Giants 20-15. Alex Smith played well. Redskins win at Arizona 24-6. Cowboys have issues. Dallas, no offense. They lose 16-8 to Carolina. Denver, I've been saying they're the sleeper in this division. Everybody talking about Oakland's problems. Chargers have this talent, and the Chiefs got all this offense. The Denver is the team that I think the Chiefs got to worry about more than the Chargers. Denver wins yesterday over Seattle 27-24. Case Keenum overcomes three interceptions. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Jets at the Lions. And the other Monday night game tonight is the Rams at the Oakland Raiders. So there you have the NFL wrap-up. A Royals pitcher over the weekend almost had a perfect game. Almost. And you might not even know who he is. Jorge Lopez, almost.
Now Grossman gets a base hit into center field. Kepler will go to third, and it's a mixed ovation here. Twins fans are glad they're not going to get no hit, and they also appreciate what Jorge Lopez has done tonight. 8 perfect innings.
25-year-old Jorge Lopez, who came over in the deal for Mike Moustakas, and he wasn't the main piece of that trade. It was Brett Phillips.
Yeah.
And in his 7th career start, had a perfect game through 8 innings, 24 straight outs. No Royal has done that, 24 straight outs. Now, Brett Sabre had a no-hitter, but he didn't have 24 straight outs for a perfect game situation. Mm-hmm. He was 3 outs away from getting it done, so the future looks bright for him. And the Royals do have some arms now that you have to say. You know, Brad Keller, Phil Myers looked pretty good. Keller's been solid as a real 5 pick. Lopez has looked pretty good. You still got Duffy if he comes back healthy.
Junis has been pitching great. Couple months here.
And then yesterday, Kennedy comes off the DL and looked good. You still got him under contract next year. The Royals actually going to have some depth to their rotation perhaps next year. So that's something to be excited about. The Royals lose yesterday, though, 3-1 after winning 4-1 on Saturday behind Jorge Lopez. Yesterday, Ian Kennedy wasn't his fault. 6 innings, gave up 1 run. Jason Hamill gives up a 2-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. Royals lose 3-1 to the Twins. Twins win the series 2-1. Royals now 47-95 on the season, and they have to go 9-11. Actually, they have to go 10-10 the rest of the way to avoid their worst season in franchise history.